And now, your hosts for Life from the Pulpit, here's Nick Perez.
That's right, live from the Command Center, located in the heart of Merced Church of Christ. This is Live from the Pulpit, the fastest half-hour podcast in the West, where I, your humble correspondent, the voice of the valley, Nick Perez, offer up news and views you can use on Scripture and society with a little help from my friends. That's right, taking us on an excursion into theology and other sundry matters. Greetings, welcome to the program. Glad you tuned in. I want to wrap up our discussion concerning leadership and talk about the next generation, because God has always been, will always be concerned with the next generation. Let me just tie this little thread together in your Bible. Psalm 22, verse 30. Posterity shall serve him, it shall be told of the Lord to the coming generation. They shall come and proclaim his righteousness to a people yet unborn, that he has done it. Psalm 71 and verse 18. Psalm 71, verse 18. So even to old age and gray hairs, O Lord, do not forsake me, until I proclaim your might to another generation, your power to all those to come. Psalm 78 and verse 6. Psalm 78, verse 6. Might as well back up to verse 5. He established a testimony in Jacob and appointed a law in Israel, which he commanded our fathers to teach to their children, that the next generation might know them, the children yet unborn, and arise and tell them to their children, so that they should set their hope in God and not forget the works of God, but keep his commandments. One more, Psalm 102 and verse 18. Psalm 102 and verse 18. The text here, again, God is always concerned about the next generation. Here it is. Let this be recorded for a generation to come, so that a people yet to be created may praise the Lord. God is always concerned with the next generation. And oh, by the way, since we're talking about mentors, never think for a moment that you're too old for a mentor. Solomon, in his wisdom, says in Ecclesiastes chapter 4, verse 13, better was a poor and wise youth than an old and foolish king who no longer knew how to take advice. Everybody could use a mentor. Now, when we talk about mentors, I believe in the New Testament we have set before us a pattern as to how this is done, how we mentor the next generation. Titus 2, beginning in verse 1, but as for you, teach what accords with sound doctrine. Older men are to be sober-minded, dignified, self-controlled, sound in faith and love and in steadfastness. Older women likewise are to be reverent in behavior, not slanderers or slaves to much wine. They are to teach what is good, and so train the young women to love their husbands and children, to be self-controlled, pure, working at home, kind and submissive to their own husbands, that the word of God may not be reviled. Likewise, urge the younger men to be self-controlled. Show yourself in all respects to be a model of good works, and in your teaching show integrity, dignity, and sound speech that cannot be condemned, so that an opponent may be put to shame, having nothing evil to say about us. The older instruct the younger. The older instruct the younger in the way that they should go. That's mentoring in a nutshell. And listen, this is something which is important, and important things that are worth value, they take time and they take effort. And so the word of the day, boys and girls, is invest. We want to invest the time and effort in the next generation. Because the fact of the matter is, older members do have the awesome responsibility of empowering the next generation. And again, older can kind of be a relative term. It could be the old sage who is seeking to impart wisdom on a younger man, a man younger than himself, or a woman younger than herself. Older could be a middle-aged person trying to invest in young people. An older person could be a 20-something seeking to invest in the high school age. So again, it's kind of a relative thing, but you get the idea. Older people, they have the words to speak at the right time to inspire young people. And so I want to encourage all of us to lock on to a life and change it for good, because that, again, that's what's at the heart of mentoring, changing it for good. Young people, they want this. They need an older member. They may not vocalize it, but it's true. That's what they want. They want someone to come alongside them and call them to aim higher, to reach further, to try harder, to invest in them, to invest even to their success. Proverbs chapter 15, and in fact, a lot of these verses that we'll deal with concerning mentoring come from the book of Proverbs, so you might as well keep your Bible open there. Proverbs 15, verse 22, without counsel, plans fail, but with many advisors, they succeed. Invest in their success. Be one of the advisors, one of the many advisors that invests in the success of the next generation. So let's explore this a little bit. When it comes to mentoring, the frank reality is parents can only take someone so far. They can only take their children so far. Mine got me through 1 year of junior college. And then I moved out. They helped move me to Lubbock, Texas, where I attended the West Point Academy of the Brotherhood, Sunset International Bible Institute, one of the sponsors of this program, fake sponsor, but you get the idea. Again, my parents, they got me through 1 year junior college, and they took me to Lubbock, and there, men like Monty Pettyjohn took over. Men like Steve Tandy took over. Men like Ray Miller, Sean Andrews, these guys took over and became the mentors who were specialists, who carried on what began in the home and helped me see through the vision and continue to help me see through the vision concerning my life and ministry. That's what mentors do. When it comes to a mentor is one who supports rather than competes with you. Competition is, it's likely that they'll drag you down. But if they support you, they'll build you up. A mentor is one who is primarily a cheerleader, not a critic. Now, that doesn't mean a mentor never points out the faults. That happens from time to time. We need the criticism, the constructive criticism, but primarily a mentor is a cheerleader. Let me give you an example of what I'm talking about here. When I was going through school, my favorite instructor was Brother Ed Wharton. I wanted to be in his preaching lab, and I got to be in his preaching lab for one term. He shared with me, you know, you get up and you preach in front of your peers, and you preach, he's there, all right, with the eagle eye, watching you, taking notes as you're preaching. He shared with me, after one of my sermons, he said, Brother, you are too combative in your style. He was identifying one of my faults, too combative. But also, he was one of my greatest cheerleaders because he shared with me, he said, you know, Brother, I would drive 100 miles to hear you preach. Unfortunately, Merced is more than 100 miles from Lubbock, but, I mean, he's a cheerleader. Yes, there was some constructive criticism, but he was primarily a cheerleader. A mentor is one who seeks to encourage the development of your gifts while seeking to protect you from costly mistakes. In other words, he wants you to succeed. He wants you to keep you from those things which would cause you to fall and to fail. And so a mentor will encourage your gifts and seek to protect you from costly mistakes. Proverbs 11, verse 14 says, where there is no guidance, a people falls. There's the costly mistake. But in an abundance of counselors, there is safety. He's going to protect. He or she will protect. That way you can develop your gifts. A mentor is one who admires and delights in you because they see the instinct, they recognize instinctively your value and untapped potential. They admire, they delight in you because they instinctively recognize your value and untapped potential. A mentor is not necessarily a close friend, but is a close confidant. Someone you can confide in, someone you trust. They may not be necessarily a close friend. Someone might ask, well, you know, isn't mentoring just kind of like the buzzword for discipleship? Are they different? Well, yes and no. Both mentoring and discipleship call people up. They call people to the upward call of God in Christ. Philippians 3, verse 14. I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. But discipleship has relationship with God in view. And this is the best kind of mentorship. The best kind of mentoring is discipleship. Because again, it has that most important relationship with God in view. Listen, you can mentor in the world. It happens in businesses and companies all over the world. But you're always one down absent Christ. When Christ is in view, that helps to complete you as a mentee, as a disciple. Let's talk about what a mentor brings to the table for a moment. What do mentors bring to the table? Well, for one, they bring wisdom. Wisdom that they have gained through experience. They've just lived longer than you. Life has taught them the lessons that can't be taught to you except by living for a while. They've been there. They've done that. Proverbs 16 and verse 31 says, "Gray hair is a crown of glory. It is gained in a righteous life." Also, Proverbs 20 and verse 29 speaks a similar word. Proverbs 20:29, "The glory of young men is their strength, but the splendor of old men is their gray hair." Gray hair is a symbol of, for one, you've lived, but second, it should typify wisdom. Been there, done that. So that's one thing a mentor brings, wisdom through experience. Another thing they bring, mentor brings warnings to the table, not just wisdom, but also warnings. Proverbs 4, verse 23, "Keep your heart with all vigilance, for from it flow the springs of life." What's the wise man doing here? He's offering a warning. Verse 24, "Put away from you crooked speech and put devious talk far from you." He's giving warnings. "Let your eyes look directly forward and your gaze be straight before you." Jump down to chapter 5 and verse 7. "And now, O sons, listen to me and not depart from my words. Keep your way far from her," this is the forbidden woman who's not your wife, "and do not go near the door of her house, lest you give your honor to others and your years to the merciless, lest strangers take their fill of your strength and your labors go to the house of a foreigner," etc., etc. It's warnings. Warnings about maybe the path you're on. It's the wrong path to be on. You don't want to be on that path. It's warnings about the mud holes in the world. In this case, the mud hole of adultery. You step in that one, you're going to regret it. The mud hole of greed, the mud hole of pride, the mud hole of fill in the blank. A mentor is going to bring to the table warnings about that stuff. Look out for this stuff. Be on your guard against this stuff. You don't want to step there. You don't want to walk that path. Mentors also bring a belief in you. They believe you can do it. A "you can do this" attitude. That's what a mentor brings to the table. Proverbs 23, verse 26, "My son, give me your heart. Let your eyes observe my ways. You watch how I do it, and then do it the way I do it, and I believe you can do this." All right? Watch me, do what I do, and then let me cheer you on as you go. That's what a mentor will bring to the table. A mentor will also bring cheers for your achievement. When you do well, hey, attaboy. Way to go. They're going to cheer your achievement, your accomplishment. Proverbs 23 and verse 15. "My son, if your heart is wise, my heart too will be glad." I'm going to rejoice and cheer if you do what is right, if your heart is wise. And in some instances, a mentor, they bring the fact that they are a proven hero. They're true to their own advice. They have taken their own advice. And a man who can take his own advice doesn't need much. They've wrestled with God even in prayer concerning some of this stuff. Worked through some of this stuff in their own life. Proverbs 27 and verse 12, the prudent sees danger and hides himself, but the simple go on and suffer for it. No, the prudent man is a proven hero. Sees danger, he's not going that way. He's going to avoid it. He's going to go a different way. Now, the Bible is filled with examples of mentors and mentoring. It goes all the way back to Moses and Joshua. Joshua was to take up the leadership role in Israel after Moses died, after he passed the baton. That's Moses and Joshua. Joshua's right there with Moses. Elijah and Elisha. Elijah calls Elisha when he's out plowing with a dozen oxen. Elijah calls Elisha to be his successor after he's died. He's taken up, translated into heaven. But Elisha will carry on his work. I think of Paul and Timothy. Timothy is called, 1 Timothy 1 and verse 2, my son. That's what Paul calls Timothy. It's a very, very close relationship there. There's a depth of relationship there with Paul and Timothy. I think of Jesus and the 12. That was a mentor-mentee relationship. In fact, Mark 3, verse 14, when he appointed the 12, whom he also named apostles, so that they might be with him and he might send them out to preach. Right there, you get a very clear idea of what it means to be a mentor, that they might be with him. And that's really what a mentor is to do, is just to be there with the mentee and just share life together. Now, let me give you 10 marks of a good mentor, not my own, by the way, borrowing this from Howard Hendricks in his book, As Iron Sharpens Iron. 10 marks. One, a mentor is one who clearly has what you need. They clearly have what you need. A mentor, two, chooses to cultivate a relationship with you. This is not something which is forced. It's something that they want. It's wanted. So a mentor chooses to cultivate a relationship with you. Three, a mentor is willing to take a chance on you. There's risk involved, but they're willing to take a chance. Four, a mentor is respected by others. People look up to them. Five, a mentor has a network of resources, and these resources are things which the mentee can utilize to their advantage. Six, a mentor is consulted by others. Again, if they're respected, people are going to come to them for advice. Number next, a mentor both talks and listens. So they're not going to be one who just dominates the conversation. And two, they're not just going to be a sponge where all they do is take it in and never offer anything. Number eight, a mentor is consistent in his lifestyle. Notice I didn't say perfect. Not perfect. There's only one who's been perfect. That's Jesus. No, but a mentor is at least consistent in his lifestyle. Number nine, a mentor is able to diagnose your real need as opposed to your felt needs. A mentor can cut through all of that and get right to exactly what you need. And number 10, a mentor is concerned with your interests. Again, they're investing in you, and so your interests are their concern. So what does the whole mentoring relationship do? As far as the mentor is concerned and as far as the one being mentored is concerned, what's the impact of mentoring? Well, for the mentor, mentoring closes the loop on their life cycle. You see, older people need to mentor just as younger people need a mentor. It helps them close the life cycle. It helps them to complete the life cycle. Otherwise, they kind of are left with this feeling that they've got some loose ends that aren't tied up. For the mentor, it connects the older and younger people in a symbiotic relationship, a relationship which is beneficial to both parties as the older invests and as the younger grows. For the mentor, the impact of mentoring is it allows a person to teach naturally from their experience, which younger people desperately need. They desperately want, but just haven't lived long enough to experience it. And so there's that natural teaching style that happens. The impact of mentoring, well, it gives older people a significant purpose in the second half of their life, maybe even in the twilight of their life. It gives them significance beyond fish and golf balls and Fox News, okay? There's significant purpose in the second half of their life. Mentoring does that for them. And mentoring also adds a missing satisfaction to an older person's life. Again, maybe it just feels like there's some loose ends here. Haven't tied everything up. Well, here's the missing satisfaction for an older person's life. That happens in the mentoring relationship. Well, what about for the protege? What about for the one being mentored? What is the impact of mentoring on their life? Leviticus 19 and verse 32 says, "You shall stand up before the gray head and honor the face of an old man, and you shall fear your God. I am the Lord." Honor the face of an old man. Honor the face of an older person. When the protege does that, what happens? Well, for one, it gives them hope. Hope because now they have a sense that they can do it. They can succeed. Again, the mentor has been helping them along with this, building them up. So it gives them hope. Hope that they can navigate life successfully. For the protege, it also brings wisdom. Not just to know they can do it, but to know how to do it. Wisdom that they've gleaned from the mentor. The impact of mentoring on the protege is they have a bigger personal vision. They're able to dream big. And it's expanded their worldview. And for the protege, it also brings encouragement. Helps build them up to accomplish the things that they need. So what do you do? What do you do? If you want to be a mentor, or if you need a mentor but you lack one, what do you do? Well, just briefly, for one, if you want to be a mentor, you should, first of all, sit down and make a list of your strengths and your experiences that you can bless a younger person's life with. Sit down and make that list. This is very important. Very important. I don't know if that's most important, but it's very important. Because unwillingness to do this first step will be a hindrance to you later on. Sit down, figure out what are your strengths, what are the experiences that you've had that you can invest in a younger person's life. Make that list. Second, you need to determine how much time you have to give to this thing. Well, you know, I'm just so busy, I really don't have the time. Make time. Make time. Important things, things that matter, things that are valuable, you will make time for those things. And this is something which is important, which is it's valuable. It's worth it. We make time for important things. Make time. And determine how much of that time you can invest in a younger person's life. Third, and maybe this is the most important thing, you need to pray for and choose a younger person that you want to be with to help them. Or pray for and choose a group of young people that you want to be with and help. Pray for and choose. And then reach out to those people or reach out to that person. Take some risk there. But again, if it's worth it, it'll be worth the risk. So sit down and pray. Pray for this thing. Saturate it with prayer. And don't forget to pray with your protege. And Again, if you want to be a mentor, what should you do? Well, if you connect, let's say after all of this that you've reached out and you've made this connection with this person, it's a right fit, initiate some regular time together where you can just, the two of you can just be together in a coffee shop, over a meal. Schedule regular time with your protege until he or she has what she needs, he needs. Till you've invested what you have to give to them. That's the thing. Mentoring is not necessarily a lifelong thing. You know, some of my mentors, they have come into my life, and then just by virtue of the fact that I've had to move on, I'm no longer in that same relationship. That doesn't mean I don't email from time to time, pick up the phone, give them a call. But it's not necessarily a lifelong thing where you're just with them every day or on a regular basis. Maybe it means you need to let them go so that they can go do it because they know how to do it, how to navigate life. Maybe it's just for a season that you're intending to mentor this protege. So, again, just invest until you have what he or she needs. Well, what if you need a mentor, but you lack one? You want one. What do you do? Well, I think, again, it's the most important thing. Sit down and pray. James 1 verse 5, if you lack wisdom, you should pray. And God gives liberally. He gives generously to those who ask. So pray. Pray for wisdom. Pray for guidance. Pray so that you might be able to identify your mentor, who you want to be with, so that they might invest in you. Once you've identified them, prayerfully identified them, go and ask. Go ask courageously. Remember we talked about leading courageously? Step out in faith courageously. Take a risk. Take a risk. Again, it'll be worth the risk. And then don't get discouraged if you get turned down. Maybe it's not the right time. Again, don't get discouraged. Prayerfully seek another mentor. Or maybe you need to get a group together. You got a group of young people. You got a group of people who need a mentor. You're part of that group. Well, go and ask an older person. Maybe ask that same older person. Mentor us. It's not just me this time. It's us. There's strength in numbers. But again, it's going to require that you take the risk, that you get the group together and ask an older person, mentor us. I think it'll be harder for them to say no. The bottom line for mentoring is you got to let people in. You got to let them know who you are, know what you need. Let them in, let them know. And both people, the mentor and the protege, they'll be blessed because of this and better off. Happiness for a lifetime. You know what it is? Helping a young person succeed. And so go out, find a mentor, go out, be a mentor, and invest. God's concerned about the next generation. We all should be as well. I'm out of time. Feel free to leave a comment on the website. I would like to hear what you have to say. Search Facebook, Life from the Pulpit. Like the Facebook page. You'll get all the updates when I go over the podcast, update the blog, or post new video on YouTube. Speaking of YouTube, search YouTube, Life from the Pulpit. Subscribe to the YouTube channel. Plenty of question of the day segments there. Follow me on Twitter, @inpulpit, @N as in Nick, pulpit, P-U-L-P-I-T. Be sure and stop by the Life from the Pulpit blog, L-I-F-E, from the pulpit.wordpress.com. All of my commentary there on Luke, James, 1st, 2nd, 3rd, John, Philippians, now Ephesians, all there, all available, all free for you to use and peruse in your everyday Bible study. Now on iTunes, search the iTunes store, Live from the Pulpit, L-I-V-E, from the Pulpit. Download all the episodes to your particular device. You'll never be more than a click away from an episode of the podcast. Check out Mercy Center to Christ website, mercycenterchrist.org, mercycenterchrist.org. Plenty of sermon audio and there available for you to help you grow in your daily walk with the Lord. And as always, brethren, grace be with you all. Thanks for listening.